when it's big like this, uh-huh. you know, we quote Carol Crocus takes longer. Because yeah. it's not centered right some of the pages.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, we got to start.
You just passed it.
Yeah. Eric, we're not done yet. Come on back. Here we go. Yeah, yeah, okay. What is this? I can just fucking skip. It's about W4, so we don't need this stuff. We can take this stuff out. That's the withholding part. That's going to be for next time. The first half is plenty for people to take. Yeah, we can just close all that stuff. Doesn't matter.
I mean, here's your, Payman, here's your Freedom Hour documents right here in front of you, too.
Thank you. In case you question need answers. And Eric, can you give me some glass of water with ice also, please?
Salt?
Thank you. We have a little sea salt and please, and some lime juice here, but not too just that. Yeah. Okay.
So are you not wanting to do a thorough
review? Nope. It's too much. It's confusing.
So are you going to refer them back to something else?
We'll cover the W-4 thing later on, the W-4 issue later on.
No, this is not the W-4 issue.
They need to send out a snitch form to the IRS. We can probably zoom in a little bit more, by the way. Yeah. to the IRS about how much they paid you that they assume is taxable income of yours, which is not the case. So why they should not be doing that? I'll cover that because that whole game never applied to you. Now, there's two halves to this equation. One is a W-2 form, and the other one is a W-4 form where the employers force you to fill out that form to give permission to the employer to steal a part of your hard-earned money up front, send it to the IRS, and now it forces you to file a form, a 1040 form to get some of that money back, perhaps. So that I'm going to cover another time, just to keep it simple for you guys, okay? And then, of course, I will take your questions afterwards momentarily. So if you have that background, guys, can be quiet back there, please? Okay, so I'm going to, and by the way, folks, remember we have a Restore Freedom Rally coming up in February 2nd through 5th. Yes. That's the event you all want to be at, folks. Coming up, here it is, okay? This is it, the Restore Freedom Rally, February 2nd through 5th in Orlando, Florida. You can come in person would be best, or watch live online if you cannot make it there. We're getting more speakers we got besides Stu Peters, Laura Loomer, you know, and Joe Bannister, Connor Boyack, Mindy Robinson, James Edwards, Steve Kirsch, Ellen Brown, Toby Weeks, and Alex Steuben. But more is coming, folks. Exciting speakers, folks, to empower you to live free and restore freedom all at the same time. So having said that, folks, I think we're almost ready to get started, right? Let me just check one thing real quick. Okay, I think we're good to go. Okay, all right. And we have several people with questions. I will get to questions, folks, as soon as I can. Trust me, that's my plan to do that. I'm just going to check a couple things on my screen. That's all good. Okay. Okay. Now I'm going to just bring one more thing out here for you guys to make that clear about all this. Folks, W-2 form. Here we got it right here. I'm going to bring these forms up in front because I'm going to discuss these forms with you guys, okay, that we're seeing to be all real clear. Okay. I think we're about getting to start doing all this. See, it takes a lot of work ahead of time, folks, to get this stuff done for you guys. Okay. Let's see. There we go. All right. All right. I think we're just about ready to get started. What do you say? Okay. We're going to get our favorite book cover out. The Federal Mafia. Okay. fight the federal mafia, folks, right? Legally and safely. We get started. Hello, my friends. I am Payman Mutahide, the president of Freedom Law School, which I created in 1996. In this presentation, I will share with you why your employer should not send the IRS a W-2 form falsely telling the IRS that the money they paid you throughout the year was taxable income on which you have to file and pay income taxes, because you're not one of those people required to file income tax. So, as always, we rely on the laws published on U.S. government's official legal websites, folks. But check out our website, freedomlawschool.org. This is where you regain your power and freedom, and you'll never again voluntarily have to pay the Washington, D.C. swamp legally and safely, guaranteed, because we show you the lies you've been deceived with, expose them, and you can be free. So here we go on our website, folks. We have individual income tax petitions and employment tax petitions and self-employment tax and 1099s. These petitions outline the law very clearly and in more detail about why 98% or more Americans are not required to file and pay individual income taxes, payroll taxes, or self-employment taxes. We're going to focus now on the one about employment taxes, okay? So when you open up these petitions, they're for single and married on our website for free. We want you to do it yourself. See, they're already pre-addressed to your representatives and your senators. Get the information on our website. We help you get it out there. And you write to them to correct your legal conclusions about employment tax laws, okay? And if we're wrong, if we're erroneous, let us know or investigate the widespread misapplication of these laws by the government. So I'm going to cover a part of this petition. You know, however, you probably want to read these petitions, and I encourage you to send them to your congressman. This is your right. This is your duty as an American to tell your public servants, okay, about the abuse of power and breaking of the law by the public servants out there in the Washington, D.C. swamp. So let's go here. And you see this petition that all laws are all quoted in more detail, just like you see here. Well, let's now look at the form. This is a W-2 form that I'm talking about, the wage and tax statement for your 2023 year, okay? This form should not be sent by the employer to the IRS. Employee Social Security number, wages and tips, Medicare wages and tips, Social Security wages, all this stuff does not belong or apply to you, okay? So let's look at the law. The law that this employer supposedly relies upon and says why they have to do fill out the W-2 about what you got paid is right here. The employer admits it. It's Section 6051 of the Internal Revenue Code, Receipt for Employees. See, folks, all this is from Title 26, Internal Revenue Code. The website is uscode.house.gov. You can look it all up yourself. That's the online version of the federal tax laws, the Internal Revenue Code. This is the Bible of the IRS. This is the book that IRS supposedly is trying to follow and enforce, but it does not apply to over 98% of you. All this gobbledygook nonsense, tissue thin, has nothing to do with most of you, as you shall see momentarily, okay? So let's go see. This is about information returns. W-2 forms are information returns that the employer sends to the IRS about people. Receipt for employees. Every person required to deduct and withhold from an employee a tax under Section 3101 or 3402, okay? So that's the law that applies. Now, I'm not going to go through all the gobbledygook long stuff. There's no need. The key point of the whole thing is, look, you're thinking, oh, I'm an employee. Oh, they're talking about me. Of course I'm an employee. They're talking about me? No, they're not. Because when you see under Section 3101 or 3402, we have to look at those definitions. Now, we're going to cover only 3101 tonight to keep it short. We'll cover 3402 later on, which applies to the W-4 form. So it's going to be only half the equation. W-4 form will be in another presentation. Tonight, we'll focus on the W-2. Okay? So let's see what 3101 is all about, right? Because this is, folks, a rabbit hole. They make us chase. That's how to hide the truth from you. So we have to find the truth and be free. Go there after a little chase. They force us to go through. Be patient. You will understand this, okay? So Section 6051 also states in D part, statements to constitute information returns. A duplicate of any statement made pursuant to this section, right? We just read above. And of course, with regulations prescribed by secretary, shall, when required by such regulation, be filed with the secretary, which is the IRS. So this is a law that says, oh, as they fill it out, send this W-2 form to the IRS. The secretary is secretary of treasury. The IRS does that part for the secretary of treasury. Okay, fine. We're going to go now to Section 3121. No, I'm sorry, 3101. Just remember, here we talk about 3101. Let's go chase down Section 3101. What does it say? Rate of tax. In addition to other taxes, there is hereby imposed on the income of every individual a tax equal to 6.2% of the wages as defined in Section 3121A, received by individual with respect to employment as defined in Section 3121B. Oh, there you go. Now, from Section 3101, they make us chase down Section 3121 A and B. So this is how they make it hard for you to see the truth right there, because they keep forcing you to go from here to there to there to there. See, there's a truth. Found it. We're going to go down the rabbit hole a little bit deeper, folks, okay? So here we go. Section 3121 definitions. Wages. For the purposes of this chapter, the wages means all remuneration for employment. Again, you're thinking, well, I get wages. I get remuneration for employment because I'm an employee, right? So that applies, talks to me, right? Wrong. We are not done with this. We have to go down in Section 3121 lower, okay? We have to go to Section 3121B. Oh, that's the key term, employment. This is where now it starts coming together. What is employment? Oh, employment is not you're working for an employer. It has a very specific meaning that you never saw. It's very limited in scope, okay? Let's take a look at this, okay? Now, employment has this whole long gobbledygook paragraph, okay? But to make it easy, I've got this section right here. I've done it like this, okay? And I got the key language in this thing highlighted. Employment, okay, means any service of whatever nature performed by all these things, right? A, B, and C. But guess what? It all has to do with anything within the United States, anything that touches at a port in the United States, or by a citizen or resident of the United States. Okay. Also could be under an agreement entered into under Section 233 of the Social Security Act, which none of you do. So the key thing is all these things. For example, a vessel or American aircraft under a contract or service which is entered into within the United States during the performance of which and while the employee is employed on the vessel or aircraft touches at a port in the United States. All is gobbledygook, but everything at the end depends on what is a port in the United States. You see, so all that, this is something that relates to in these specific gobbledygook ways to some relation to United States. Okay, they have specific meaning for wages, right? For employee, for employment. Let's go down and see what United States means, right? Okay, so for that, 3121, again, you're going to go down there and 3121, and in E, way, way, way down, they'll tell you for the purposes of this chapter, now you see the definition of United States. Yes. See, and chapter 21, okay, this is employment taxes. Look at that definition for us. Term United States when used in a geographical sense, which is what we all want to know, includes the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and American Samoa. What's not there? The 50 states. You see 50 states in there? California, Florida, Texas, any of them? No, it's not there. Even the term state definition includes the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and American Samoa. See, look at that. None of these U.S. territories are states. But for whatever reason, the legislature decided to make these U.S. territories call them a state. And even D.C., the seat headquarters of the federal government, that is called a state. But look at that. United States, nowhere is the seat of the federal government, Washington, D.C., District of Columbia, is listed as a part of the United States for geographical purposes. See, this is deliberate. This goes to show you this was not an accident, like they forgot to list District of Columbia in the United States. It's right there, the same law. They deliberately left it out. And then deliberately also left out the 50 states. And they put all these, only these four U.S. territories. For example, the Northern Mariana Islands is U.S. territory. It's not listed here. So it does not apply to there. So now you see all this applies to these activities, okay, that have to do with these four island U.S. territories you saw listed here. That almost none of you are in any way engaged in. So all that doesn't apply to you. Now, let me remind you of one more thing. All these definitions are key according to the U.S. Supreme Court. We have to go by them. We don't just add whatever we want, but you couldn't. See here, you cannot just add to state, the 50 states, or Northern Mariana Islands. And to the United States, you cannot add the 50 states or D.C. is not there. The key cases for you to know is Stenberg versus Carhart. And here the court reminds us that when a statute or law includes an explicit definition like the ones you just saw, we must follow that definition even if it varies from that term's ordinary meaning. Yes. These definitions are unique. We have to go by them. And it is axiomatic or self-evident, obvious, that the statutory definition of the term, something defined by statute, excludes unstated meanings of that term. If it's not there, it's not there. So the United States, in these laws, as you can see, folks, does not include the 50 states, as you see right here, 3121. It's not there. So it does not to any of you in the 50 states, none of that stuff applies to you in the first place. W4 withholding is a similar thing. I'll cover another video That's going to get you in a scam. And a W-2 is sending out to scare you. IRS knows about me. Gosh, I got to file a tax return because I got a W-2 in the mail. Yeah, IRS will come after me because of W-2 my employer sent to the IRS. You know, it's false, number one. And another video in step 3 of our 7 steps to free yourself of the IRS, I assure you IRS doesn't even use those W-2 or 1099 forms to come after you anyways, if you're a non-violent. So let's get back to this fun we have here. And the Supreme Court of the United States, folks, in the case of Gould versus Gould, a unanimous tax case in 1917, Supreme Court said that in the interpretation or understanding of statutes, laws, levying or imposing taxes, it is the established rule, well-known rule, not to extend their provisions, do not extend the tax laws by implication. There is no implying, folks. United States definition, what you see, is that's all there is beyond the clear import of the language used or to enlarge the operation of the tax laws so as to embrace or include matters not specifically pointed out. Something not specifically pointed out, it's not there. So when you see here, 3121E United States does not list any of the 50 states or even DC, it's not there. And therefore, you're not one of these people involved in these activities. So you're not involved in employment. That's not you. You're not in employment at all. By specific definition of tax law, you don't have to file income tax on these issues. Okay. So, and remember that in case of doubt, they mean tax laws are construed most strongly against the government and in favor of the citizen not being taxed. Not strongly, most strongly against the government. That closes it right there. So here it is, folks. Employment is only these things. You can go back, freeze frame, and read it slowly. You see, it has nothing to do with any of you in the 50 states or D.C. Only certain people within the 4 island territories of the United States, these ones right here, only these ones may have to, this law applies to. Okay? So now you see why this W-2 form that your employer sends the IRS is false. They should not do it, but they do it anyway. So one of our long-term goals is to educate employers to not to send these false forms to the IRS claiming they paid you taxable income for employment within the United States, which only means 4 island territories of Puerto Rico, Guam, Virgin Island, and American Samoa. Because I bet you almost none of you, very tiny amounts of you, are doing these things with those 4 island territories. So we'll correct these injustices, these lies, these deceptions. That's how they get you, folks. Satan is about deception, and deception causes you to be afraid of the IRS. And guess what? What liberates you? You seek the truth. You saw the truth in this video, and the truth is freeing you right now. Free your mind. So what you want to do from here forward, folks, is to go to Freedom Law School's website, freedomlawschool.org, and regain your power and freedom and never again voluntarily pay the Washington, D.C. swamp legally and safely with a guarantee if you choose. Folks, I would love for every one of you to be free and not a slave anymore. No longer follow those 10 for you forms with the IRS under oath. Say, oh, yes, master, I did my best under oath to pay you my slavery tax. Master, please, please take it easy on me. Don't audit me. I'm afraid of you. You don't do that to yourself. You don't sign that 10 for you form even when your employer sends that W-2 form falsely to the IRS. Okay? So, folks, you hold the key to for yourself, and you also hold the key to work together with all of us as Americans to free America, be a free nation once again. The FBI, CIA, DOJ, FDA, CDC, all these agencies are now turn around and are used to enslave you, not to serve you. So why would anybody voluntarily pay their own enemies? The U.S. government in its current form is your number one enemy, not the Chinese, Russian, Iranians, North Koreans, or Hamas. That's all distractions, folks. So you don't notice the real enemies right here inside the gates in the Washington, D.C. swamp. So now that you know the truth, you can free yourself, tell others, your friends, family members, and together we can wake up and take back America and have you have a prosperous and free life as well. Go to freedomlawschool.org, and on your drive to and from work, listen to our videos. When you have lunch or dinner, put your smartphone back up, watch it, and deprogram yourself and live a free life now. Okay, we're going to get your questions. We have two people with questions ready to go. Area code 214 and another call from area code 978. However, I just noticed that more people joined to ask questions. We have a call from area code also 860 and another one from area code 301. The call numbers on the screen, folks. Those are the questions. Please be quick to your questions so we don't keep everybody waiting. We get the 8-month questions. Okay, timely without them waiting for too long, okay? So remember, for your privacy, give me only your first name, no last name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please. So call from area code 214, you are first. He disconnected. What happened? 214 area code caller, he left. Oh, he's back. All right, give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
Unmute.
Yes, what's your name? What's your name, ma'am?
Deborah.
Deborah?
Yes.
And how did you hear about Freedom Law School, Deborah?
Through a lot of research on the internet and more recently from the Red Pill University.
Very good. And how may I help you?
My husband and I are both retired, and we're taking our Social Security benefits. And if I became a student and a non-filer, and then consequently a non-resident alien, would my Social Security benefits be protected from what the Social Security says, that 85% of our benefits would be subject to the 30% tax rate as a non-resident alien?
If you do what? If you don't file?
Yes, if I don't file.
Whether you file income tax has nothing to do with the Social Security freebie program. It's irrelevant. If you apply for it, as long as they want to pay you that freebie, they can do that. Anytime Congress can cut that out, because there is no such thing as a Social Security Trust Fund where your money was put into and saved for your retirement. That's a lie. That money is being stolen from American people right now and handed to different people, and they can stop it at any time. Whether you file or don't file income tax, it's completely irrelevant to receiving that Social Security money or in any way. Okay? Any other questions?
Would I have to report it since I did a statement from them?
No.
Did I have to, no?
Nope. Now, I believe I've not done 100% complete research on this, but I'm 99% sure at this time that Social Security is for a one of those U.S. definition D.C.-based benefits or gains. So in a way, you say you are from D.C., not from your state where you live. But it's by law specifically exempted unless you have other U.S.-based income as a citizen or resident of D.C. You don't have that. Do you have any income from Washington, D.C.? So it doesn't matter. You have no money from D.C., and they exempt Social Security, even though you claim you're from D.C. Okay?
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for asking, Deborah.
Thank
you. You're welcome. We have a 978 area code caller. Give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hey, Devon. It's Caleb, and I heard from you guys, from my brother-in-law, actually. He's a student there with you guys recently, and he's been telling me a lot about, like, you guys and this whole not paying taxes thing, which obviously at first I'm sure you probably get a lot. It sounds a little crazy because you just brought up, you know, people telling you that you owe taxes all the time. But my questions are, actually, I recently talked with a friend of my in-laws, and he believed in this whole not paying taxes deal.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the 90s, actually, him and his wife and some of his friends, he said, were part of this, you know, movement that they were doing, and the definitions, and he showed the same definitions. He said he went about 10 years without paying taxes. Then one day the IRS showed up at his door. They went to court. They lost. My parents, my in-law's friends lost, and they ended up owing the IRS, I guess. You know, they ended up coming after them for like $1 million. Somehow they made up that number. So now they're really scared, but he believes, like, you know, they did years and years of research, and now he's really concerned. And so my question, he says that no one has ever beat the IRS on the issue of legal liability in court. And I'm wondering, I guess that's my question. Have you, you know, encountered, have you beaten the IRS in the issue of legal liability? And if so, are there, you know, recorded spots where I can search? Because I'm interested in becoming a student. I just, of course, I'm wanting to do my due diligence.
Well, here's the thing. This situation, this argument, I came across this about 4 years ago, roughly. And I've never, since I came across it very clearly, has ever been litigated because they have not come after us. How can I litigate an issue where the IRS doesn't come after me or my students? So, and your relatives, whatever they say they did back then, I don't know what they did. They claim what they did was similar to me, but how do I know that? How can I know that? You know, I got to see their paperwork, what they do or did not do. Also, did they know legal procedures to how to do it right? You see, because you see, this is my experience with the IRS. I've beaten them, so as our students, they're a myth. And here it is, folks. I use some example, folks. The fact is that no student of Freedom Law School has ever gone to prison for federal taxes, nor had their paycheck or bank account levied, or home or business seized by the IRS. So you should have checked out Freedom Law School. Come with us. I would have done it right. Okay? And look at this. I myself, I have not filed or paid any U.S. federal income taxes, payroll taxes, nothing, since 1993. And I've been teaching other people to do the same, and I'm not in prison. So what does that mean? Obviously, whatever your friends did is different than what I did. Like, I'm much Republican about it for 30 years, teaching Americans to, like me, do a file of income tax to swamp, and now I'm out of prison, right? So be careful to assume that what they did was the same as me, because obviously it's not. Now, if I'm sorry they made some mistakes, they did not realize how crooked the system was to learn the law to beat them. See, that's one of the key things. I beat them because I learned the law. I'm not an attorney, and I beat them. So that's when we go to our website. You see, for example, you know, IRS, no one has done this thing. The IRS, I forced the IRS to take back its criminal investigation division summons of records about Freedom Law School by suing them in court. The paperwork is right there. The proof is right there. The court cases. Okay? Here is another one. IRS came after me for over $600,000 for 13 years. All removed. All zeroed out. The proof is all right here. Hyperlink to documents. You can see it for yourself. So I'm sorry they made mistakes. I'm sorry they did not get together with me or file Freedom Law School. But just because they lost doesn't mean I should give up, especially with the record of success that we got. And there's no reason why you should give up. It's because they made mistakes that you're not going to make anymore like them. Okay? Any other questions?
Yeah, got it. So you're saying out of your entire time, you essentially the IRS hasn't come after any of your students, or they have, or you guys have just beat them, essentially?
We've beaten them. Again, this is my personal victories. I got to beat them. There's more. I got right now four IRS victories, and I got one with a law professor. Here's a student victories for over since 2001. Okay. I've had students I helped. You know, these are victory after victory over the IRS. This is $4.6 million tax zeroed out. There it is. The documentation is right there. Yeah, I'm not making this up, okay? Okay? And here's another one. IRS attempt to levy our students' wages without issuing a final notice of interest levy, and we stopped them. We got to add that on there, that we stopped them on there, the language, okay? Okay? So there's more and more victories on our website. Yes, we beat them, and this is actually partial. We got to put a lot more on here. We got more of these victories we got to put on there. Yeah. So I'm telling you, yes, anybody that came to me and stayed with me, I obviously didn't left them alone, or if they did come after them, we've beaten them. But they must come to us clean, not doing something with other people before they come to Freedom Law School, and stay with Freedom Law School. Because I have people with problems or existing stuff with other people come to me to try bail them out, and I do my best. But I'm not a magician to fix someone else's mess before they came to me. Understood?
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm very interested. I work in the securities industry, so I work with, you know, investment accounts, and I'm registered, and I guess my concern or limitation, I've had a conversation with my employer about, like, if the IRS were to come after me, because obviously I don't know, like, will it hinder or will it impact now my job status with being, you know, remove my licenses or registrations that I have with, you know, the different states is part of my concern as well. But, that's going to be one of my concerns.
Well, you should not do that. The reason is because you, with Freedom Law School, you exercise your rights to challenge the IRS. You see, the problem why IRS comes after you is because you fill out those in the past, those 1040 income tax confession forms, and you were deceived into believing that, you know, the safe way to avoid IRS audits and keep yourself safe out of prison is to file. And it's not so. The safe way to have IRS leave you alone is to not file any 1040 income tax confession trap forms, because look at this. Sign here on the 1040 form. See that? You never read that, did you? The fine print that the used car dealer forced you to sign says, deceived you into signing, I should say, under penalties of perjury, you sign that form, which means throw me in prison if everything on this form is not true, correct, and complete. You fill out one of these forms, you can go to prison for 9 years for 3 separate crimes. Yes, 5 years, 3 years, and 1 year for one single 1040 signature. And you claim that you owe the IRS money under oath. When you fill out the 1040 form, read the line 37, amount you owe. So when you don't do that, you don't give up your rights. You can challenge them, okay? Okay, and I'm going to show you, basically, I'm going to, in step three, that you have a right to due process of law. You can challenge the IRS in court. If you don't file, guess what? The IRS will have to give you a tax proposal in which you could challenge them. Yes. It's called the due process of law. The view on the right side on step three, I'll cover that issue. When you file, you're done. You confess, you owe the IRS money. When you don't file, they have to come after you, make a proposal, and you can challenge it. Before you owe the IRS anything legally at all, there's no problem at all. And then you can beat them. But when you already file, you already hung yourself. So, yes, you should not have any problem with the IRS if you don't file, if you don't confess all the money. And when you file, now they can audit you. Listen, when you don't file, there's no tax return to audit. Yes, legally, without a tax return, there's nothing to audit. You subject yourselves to audit and IRS problems. I'll send out a 1040 form. Does it help you, Caleb?
Yeah, it does. So in these past 7 years, I moved to the U.S. the past 7 years, I've filed every year. I haven't filed, of course, this year because it's not up, but I'm thinking through the things that I've been hearing on your website about going through with not filing for this 2023 year. Is it just as simple then? And obviously, I would, through being a student, but is it as simple as just deciding not to file this year, even though technically we're almost done with the year and I've paid, my employer's deducted money from all my paychecks throughout the whole year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as just deciding, hey, I'm not going to file 2023 and then that's it.
Well, I would say 99.99%. Yep, that is it. Because you see, again, one of the things we showed you, step three in our website, is this. Realize that the IRS is over 99% bluff. They bluffed you. The same corrupt major media that sold you on the Trump-Russia conspiracy hoax, the corona hoax, is the same one that told you that the great and powerful IRS will get you if you don't file. See, that's all. It's all programming, folks. Here's a real reason why people file income taxes. You've been programmed by the corrupt major media, false charismatic preachers, and your accountant CPA, whose job is to put the chain around your neck when a 1040 form. And say, oh, I'm going to make it a little bit looser for you, that chain around your neck. I'm a nice guy. But nonetheless, his job is to chain around your neck on that 1040 form. You quit doing that stuff, okay? And you'll be in much better shape. In step three, when you realize the IRS is over 99% bluff, I'll give you 7 reasons why the IRS decided to leave non-filers alone. Yes. Yes. Actually, decided to leave non-filers alone. I'm going to skip down to the part, the chart, that shows IRS used to come after non-filers in 1990s and 2000 years. Here's a report from the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. This is their own report. Used to come after about 1 million non-filers for your 2009 and 10, MK 11, those years, right? By 2000, 16. They went after 9,000 number, crashed to only 25,000. That's a 99.9% drop. And they left 9,000 alone. They left 9,000 alone so much that the IRS refused to go after even extremely rich non-filers. Check this out. The U.S. Treasury auditors gave the IRS a list of 100 richest income tax non-filers who each would owe the IRS about $100 million. Not chump change. And recommended to the IRS to go after these people, right? For taxes. You would think IRS said, sure. Thank you, IRS. Sorry, it's a mishap. We missed these super rich non-filers. Of course we go after them. That's easy. We should have not done it. We're just idiots. But we'll get it. We'll get them this time. Give us a chance, auditors. We'll go after them, right? No. The IRS is so broken, disorganized, lazy, and irresponsible. They can't get out of fired. They cannot get fired. They'll be at the job and getting that paycheck the same. That the IRS refused to commit to going out these extremely rich high-income non-filers. So, yeah, you should be left alone 99.9%. But, again, if you want to have extra peace of mind, you have the privilege of joining the Restore Freedom Plan, or Step 6. You can do that if you want to. And there, you know, with Step 6, we protect you 100% completely if you do that. If you want to be part of the modern-day founding fathers of America, the privilege of lifetime 100% guarantee is available to you. But that's people like them. If you want to stand up like them for freedom, take a stand and join the Restore Freedom Plan, we'll back you up 100% and give you peace of mind. But then again, if you want to do it on your own, you should be fine 99.9% of the time anyways. Any other questions?
Okay. So, one last question. I'm sorry. Thank you for your time. Retirement accounts in the last few years, you know, where everything is centered around taxes and saving and investing, and it's all around taxes and deferring taxes into retirement plans. So what happens to these retirement accounts then over these last 7 years where you've been adding money, filing your 1040 form and saying, hey, I'm deferring this money till later. If we decide, hey, now we're filing taxes, do we no longer owe taxes on any of this money and penalties for, you know?
You never owed any taxes to them to begin with. So now you realize that, oh, I never realized that I don't owe income tax and I did not need to play all these games of tax deferring and this and that, the other. No need. You can just leave the money there and or take the money out whenever you want. You don't owe a tax on that withdrawal either. Okay?
Okay. Even though it was under, even though when you signed your 1040 and you were saying, hey, no, I do owe you taxes, it doesn't technically matter anymore.
Doesn't matter. Every year is a separate potential taxable event. Even the way the IRS sees it, you could want you to be a rich millionaire making $10 million a year. Next year, because you have alcohol and drug problem, become homeless on the street, make nothing, you owe no taxes, even the way they see it. So those years, you were deceived into filing income taxes you never owed. And now you realize, oh my gosh, I was deceived. I'm going to not be deceived anymore with my eyes open. I'm not going to file income tax anymore because I never owed it in the first place.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. You're welcome, Caleb. Thank you for calling. We have a call from your code 860. You are next, my friend. Give me your first name. But before you get to that, hold on. After him, you got 301 area code call. We got more callers. Let me put you all on a list. After area code 301, we have a call from area code 318, then one from area code 503, another one from area code 434, and another one from area code, I think that's it for right now. Okay. Folks, we got to make these questions quick because a lot of people are waiting to get their questions answered. 86 area code caller, you are next. Give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Okay, yeah, my name is Steve. I've called him before, and Steve Kirsch was the guy that got me turned on to you again.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
Okay.
And Steve is speaking about Restore Freedom Rally coming up. You know that, right? Steve Kirsch is speaking at Restore Freedom Rally, February 2nd through 5th in Orlando, Florida.
I saw that. Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I did register for the event actually. But
great.
I've been burned before. I've been very trusting. I've been burned. I was wondering if you would hold it against me if I really play devil's advocate and look at the viewpoint of the other side and really
sure.
try to poke holes in this just for the sake of being
sure.
you know.
Please, by all means, yes.
Due diligence. So,
yes.
It seems like a lot of this is predicated on.
Before we go on, I'll pay any of you $200 an hour. $200 an hour. If you find anything on my website, is legally wrong. Got it? Anybody out there? And I have to sometimes do that to people. Say, I'll pay you. You go research me out. If I'm wrong, I'll pay you. And they go, look, I say.
Well,
I can't find anything wrong with what he said. ask your question. What's on your mind?
Well,
yes.
When you say something's legally wrong, so if you go to court, what's understood is to be legally right and legally wrong is what case precedent says and how cases have been decided in the past. And that's different than reading the original documents from the House of Representatives and the Senate official website as far as statutes. So when you say something's legally right or legally wrong, I mean, they have these, 66, 73 penalties or whatever. They have frivolous excuses, and they'll throw a $5,000 or $25,000 fine at you. I know you say that the courts are corrupt or whatever, but when you say something's legally right, I mean, what the courts decide in their mind is what's legally right and wrong. So you have a different definition of what's legal. That's correct, right?
No, I have the same definition. Here's the thing, bottom line. The law is the U.S. Constitution. The statutes written by legislatures or federal governments, okay, and the Supreme Court of the United States or the states. That is the law. Now, if a rogue judge ignores the law, that can happen. Folks, rogue judges exist all over America. I hear family law judges being rogue. I was trying to help somebody with a civil case, and the judge was ignored the law. I had my own case where the judge on a traffic case ignored the law. Okay, way back in 1990s. Okay? And so he put me in jail illegally. I had to go to court of appeal to get him, force me out. I had a judge one time not give me the records that I wanted about the grand jury. He was a lawless judge. And I went to court of appeal, forced him to do that.
Yeah.
So, of course, you could not. The judges can ignore the law, but the bottom line about judges is this. Let me tell you this. Hold on.
We all,
I know what you're saying. Go ahead. What did you think?
We all know that some judges are flagrantly disregard the law. For example, all those people on January 6th in Washington, they get locked up for 20 years for doing what? For doing nothing. I mean, obviously there's very corrupt judges. On the other hand, when it comes to tax court and circuit courts and Supreme Courts, it seems like there is a uniformity. There's no judges out there that are bucking the system. And this is kind of a side issue. I was just picking up on your saying, prove me legally right. It wasn't really my main question, so I don't really want to beat a dead horse with this. But anyway, could I get on to my point? Maybe I shouldn't have taken that detour.
Go ahead. What's your point?
I, So I've been looking at a lot of this is predicated on someone who doesn't file. It seems like I haven't seen anything where anyone's ever been prosecuted criminally, meaning going to jail for not filing. I'm not sure if there's any laws that say that it's a crime not to file, but there's a lot of laws that – oh, actually, I'm sorry. Let me back up a bit or go – I'm sorry. I'm not very good at keeping my talking clearly here. So basically, like a lot of your step three, it says that the odds are very much in your favor. You say 99.9%. But, you know, mm-hmm. some people are very risk-averse, like my wife. And she says, mm-hmm. well, what about that 0.1%? Mm-hmm. What if we're the unlucky people, okay? And I know you've mm-hmm. got this war chest that you're building that to pay any civil fines or deficiencies. But the one thing that I kind of has been kind of bugging me is step three. I think reason five talks about the automated substitute return program. And it's something like that, ASFR or something. And you described that it was suspended, what is it, in 2015 or 17 or something. And I sent an email to questions@femalelawschool.com that it was reinstated in 2019. And they said, well, mm-hmm. nothing's really changed. It's basically still – but, I mean, So that was one thing. Like, mm-hmm. it seems as though a lot of this step three information is kind of dated. Is it possible to get more up-to-date information about the automated substitute for return program? Mm-hmm. And one thing that is particularly mm-hmm. concerning me about that, back mm-hmm. in, I apologize, I might be blindsiding you. I should have emailed this ahead of time. But the Lawrence okay. James Staccato versus Commissioner case in July 25th, 2023, there was a guy that didn't file returns for 14 years, and he made all these really dumb tax protest arguments that always lose in court.
Get your point, my friend. We got people that are waiting to get the questions answered. So what are you trying to get to, my friend?
Okay, well,
You asked about ASFR, automated substitute for return program. Let me address that question you asked already.
Yep.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
You know, IRS, look, these are the IRS, you got to look at my screen, I'll show you. They're a bunch of liars and full of hot air, okay? They give BS all the time to Congress and the auditors, okay? Let me give you an example. For 4 years, IRS has failed to fix its antiquated computer systems and has now suspended most updating initiatives. Okay, now if you look at this 4 years of failure, there's an article right here. Okay, you see on my screen. This by ATR, Americans for Tax Reform. And they show for 4 years IRS has promised to fix its computer systems, and they just can't do it. Here's 1982 from New York Times article, way back 82. Okay, here's an article they got here from 85 from Time Magazine. Okay, and there's more. So when you read that thing that in 2019 they suspended the ISFR program, that was a lie. Okay, that was a boast. That was trying to make us look good before Congress. And guess what? In March of 2020, right, just a few months later, what do we have? Oh, the corona hoax. You better double mask, lock down, 6 feet apart. You're sneezing? Oh, got a cold? Don't come to work. You're going to get us killed with corona. And government offices, like the IRS, had to shut down. About two-thirds of employees had to be sent home because of the social distancing requirements. And the IRS, guess what? Could not process tax returns even. Couldn't even process tax returns to give refunds. The most basic function of the IRS, they could not even do that. That's why the IRS could not keep up with filers and their levies by force of people that owe the IRS money, which used to be about $3.7 million in 2011, went down in 2021 to only about 300,000, over 90% drop in IRS levies in 10 years. So, no, whatever they may have wanted to start in 2019 got kabooshed by the corona hoax. 2020, 21, and 22. And guess what? They ain't coming back. I haven't seen it. So do you have you seen anything since then? No. The reason there's nothing on it, because they haven't done anything about it. They cannot fix it because it's structural. The IRS leaving non-filers is in the structure of the IRS. They cannot change it because when you file, you give IRS the power. You admit to the IRS you owe the money, and you deny yourself right to a trial. Deny yourself right to a challenge. I'm going to show it to you right here. This is my IRS's website. Okay? For the IRS, it's far more profitable to go after filers than to go after non-filers. The IRS collects over $300 from the $1 that the IRS spends collecting from Americans. We file 1040 income tax confession and draft forms. However, in contrast, the IRS collects just over $2 for every $1 that the IRS spends collecting from Americans who do not file 1040 income tax confession draft forms. So if you're the IRS, would you spend a dollar and raise only $2 by going after non-filers, or spend $1 and make $300 from filers? Right? The answer is very simple. You go with the money. Non-filers are being left alone anyhow. What's that?
The chart only goes up to 2016 in this section of your website. You said you have some data from 2021, or I think it would be great if I could see some more up-to-date data if you have it.
Well, there is one, right? It's on my website. Look, I showed it to you right here. Look, I'll get on step three. Here's the one that IRS refuses to go after extremely rich non-filers. By May 2020, I'll show you right here. Here's a source document. The latest is right here. You got to click on the links on our website. Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration says May 29, 2020, about 3 years ago, high-income non-filers owing billions of dollars are not being worked by the Internal Revenue Service. Is that
recent enough
for you? That's all they got. I mean, that's what they read for yourself. It's all there.
From 2017, it's hard to see which one it is. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'll go look for this again. If you have something from 2020, it would be good to...
It's right there.
I don't know.
I'll just show it to you. It's right here. On step three, you go scroll down, okay, and you see below point number six. The link is there, brother. Thanks for doing your homework. I appreciate people like you who say, Payman, I don't believe it. Prove it to me. You're right. I have to prove it to you. And I will. If on our website, you'll see it for yourself. Do it and then call me back if you want to, okay?
Okay, Payman, maybe next week. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. My pleasure. We have a call from Miracle 301. Folks, I'll get to all of you. Hang in there. 318-503-434 and 602 area code call added. I'll get to all of you guys, I promise. Okay? All right, 301 area code caller, give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
All right, so my name is Benaya, and I heard I've actually been following Freedom Law School for a while. I found some of your videos on YouTube a little while ago, and I think that was all you said to do before I go into my question, right?
How many years has it been? And how did you get to our YouTube videos?
Well, I was looking at – I've been a number of different friends and – well, a couple of friends that have also not been paying taxes and trying to get – with – stop the all of that and everything. And I don't remember exactly because it was a few, several years ago, but I came across one of your videos because I was watching some of the other tax, non-tax videos, and one of yours came up. And so I've actually called in a few times and been listening to some of the Freedom Hours and so on.
All right.
So it's been a few years.
Yep.
But I was calling for the one question, and then what you were talking about this evening made me have a second question. So I'm going to ask that one real quick first, which is in regards to the employers, if you have like a W-2 and W-4 and stuff like that, if employees are already filed with the IRS or even 1099 actually, is there a way to, not necessarily to go into the process for that now, but is there a way to be able to request an employer or a company to stop filing any of the like W-2, 1099, W-4s or anything?
Well, you want the whole cake and eat it too, don't you? I don't blame you for it. Look, that's what I'm working on. No, I'm afraid that's why I'm putting this stuff out. You got to educate your employer. If you can do that, great. Small employers, you have a chance to go educate them to stop this. But you work for McDonald's or Walmart, they say, nah, get out of here if you don't like it. What can you do?
Yeah.
With these multinational, huge corporations, you know? So start your business, work for small employers, educate them. And this time, unfortunately, that's the best answer I have.
Okay.
Major companies are the biggest problem. They are part of the problem. They're part of a slavery system that we got going on.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Who do you work for, Anaya? Who do you work for, Anaya? Big corporation?
I'm self-employed. So I do contracts with a number of different companies. And a lot of those companies will file 1099s at the end of the year. And there's one company that even though I contract with them, they do the way they do their payroll system, they still put me down as W-2. So taxes and everything is automatically taken from that, which I'm working on trying to get that change over 1099. But they don't do 1099, so it's a whole big thing trying to, you know, work that out with them.
Well, if you become one of our students, we can try to help you with that process. I've been successful sometimes with the company. It's not a black and white thing, but don't give up. If your work is really independent type of thing, there's no reason why they should not, you know, have you be an independent contractor.
Right. Okay. It's just how they do it as far as the company goes. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I understand.
So, yes, can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, anything else?
So my real question, which is why I was initially calling, was it's kind of come to my attention over the past like month or so that there is a COVID tax credit for self-employed individuals for tax years 2020 and 2021, which Congress and stuff passed something like a year or two ago for that. Now, in order to I've stopped filing taxes several years ago already. Anyways, it's close to 10 years now. But if a person has not been filing taxes, including those 2 years, now with submitting an amendment, because in order to claim those tax credits, which is the self-employed tax credits that they're talking about for the COVID credits, would submitting an amendment open them up to potential audit from the IRS or like potential problems because now there's, even though you're not filing taxes, there's an amendment in there for those two tax years. So would that kind of open the individual up for potential problems in the IRS?
It might. I don't play with those games of filing and credits. I'll recommend that. Study, so I don't know. I would suggest forget about all that stuff in the past. Put your time and energy and talent and wisdom into free yourself from here forward. You can start with holding on your paycheck legally and safely on our website. Okay, I'll show you. Right there, you can go under right, okay, on top of our front page, free yourself from tax withholding, okay? Stop the withholding right now, legally and safely, follow our instruction carefully because we follow the law to the T, okay?
Uh-huh.
And until you become an independent contractor, okay?
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Let's go to the call we have right now from Erica 318. Let's see, call from Erica 318. Give me your first name. How you heard about us? And then your question, please.
Yes, hi, Paymon. My name is Mark. I've been following you probably since 2017, 2018. I found you myself through YouTube videos and just some research online those many years ago.
Very good. And how may I help you?
I sent you an email Monday, I believe, and the guys answered me back. I forget the name of the email I got back. And had a couple documents that I wanted to ask you for some help on. I don't know how much detail that you need me to go into, but I stopped. My last year of file fit 1040 was in 2019, and that was from a combination of individual tax return and from a LLC business that my wife and I had at that time. We no longer have that franchise, and that was back in 2020. The only strike I have against me with following your program is I did not do my letters of petition and redress until mid-2022. So I stopped filing on my own, but I did follow the process since June of 2022. In the interim, I have received a couple of statements saying that I earned that I owed some taxes from September of 2022 from my LLC that I no longer have or operate as a business or as a franchise at that time. I've kind of just let those go. I haven't addressed them. I had meant to get on the phone with you like I am tonight. But then as of late, a couple of weeks ago, I received a notice of an appointment to meet with a field revenue officer in my local town. So now I'm seeking some help or some advice, just talking about a tax period of quarter three in 2022, about a form 941, which is a employer's quarterly federal tax return, which I was not operating my business during that time frame.
Yep, I see that. Well, here's what's going on.
Okay.
Apparently, you know, IRS sent a letter to you that you owe them $11,000, okay, for a quarterly payroll taxes that there's a balance due, that you filed a, form for it, it seems like it. $11,000 of change. You're this 941. Those are, payroll taxes that they're coming after your LLC, by the way. Okay, not you.
Mm-hmm.
It does not have your name. It has a name of entity on there. So
that's correct.
I don't know how that came through. This whole thing. I have no idea how it came. Your paper does not tell me enough about it. I need more background on how this stuff all came together and why, you know, for this third quarter of 2022, that they come after you. Apparently you didn't do this thing. So they made an appointment for you, they claim. But guess what? This appointment they make is no force of law. It's like saying, hey, Mark, I have a date with you in your house Saturday night at midnight. You're going to say, what? Who the heck are you to claim, yeah, you can come visit me, you know, at midnight in my house? Or saying, Mark, I'm an appointment for you to come to my office Friday night at 11 p.m. And say, who the heck are you to demand that I come to your office? Like I got nothing better to do than come and serve you. Who the heck are you? Oh, I'm from the government. So what?
Government
has no more rights than anybody else. They have to follow the law as well. So how would they just ignore this thing? They want to discuss your unfiled tax returns or any amount that you may owe. All they're going to do is try to and intimidate you and say, I'm going to get you. You're here because you're scared and we know that. Yeah, I would just ignore them. Okay, but you probably would benefit from a one-on-one private paid consultation. So I can look at your whole information in more detail, my friend, you know, what's going on here. But right now, I would not show up to the meeting. That's the first thing I would do, not even show up to the meeting. Okay, because they go after, these letters go out to a bunch of people, like 20 or 50 people. He's got to come after this guy. And when he respond to him of the 50 people, guess what? You put yourself on a follow-up list. If out of 50 people, 30 of them answer, 20 do not answer, who's going to go after first? The ones that responded like you were thinking about doing.
Right.
First.
Right.
Before going after ones that, well, they didn't even respond to me. I have no idea what's going on with them. Maybe they moved. Maybe they're not there. Maybe they're dead in hospital. Who knows? Right?
Right.
So don't worry about them. We can talk to you a private consultation with all your paperwork about what's going on here, and that can give you a better answer at that time, more accurate answer. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I probably will follow up and do that, Paymon. I actually don't – the gist of the situation is I don't have really anything more than what I've given you. I can maybe give you more history, but the letter
just
did say – in which.
They ignore them. I don't know how they came up with this nonsense. This is very recent. They come up with this quarterly tax number. Later on, you can challenge this tax at a collection due process hearing. You can ignore them. Doesn't matter. Well, at that time, you can say, where did you get this number, dude? By law, you have a right to challenge them in a trial. That's the good news when you don't file. You didn't file a confession form, put a rope around your neck. So you have a right to trial preserved down the road. If they continue on, if they leave you alone, you're good. Again,
understood.
It's too much expense and work for them to go after non-filers, so they leave you alone.
Right.
Because you can't just keep wasting your time going after somebody for $11,000. A lot more bigger fish to see they got to get, and filers are easy prey. All they can do is pick on your 1040 form. Prove that expense. How about a deduction? How about a tax credit? How about a carryover loss you got? Your cost basis in your previous tax return? You know, like, oh my gosh. Oh, how about your cryptocurrency? You checked on a 1040 form? You did cryptocurrency? Oh yeah. Yeah, you owe more money, don't you, Mr. Crypto Investor? Those are the easy targets when you file. When you ignore them, they are very likely to leave you alone right then and there. Why? Folks, look at my screen. I feel like a broken record. It's far more profitable for the IRS to go after filers than to go after non-filers. The IRS collects just over $2. For every $1 that the IRS spends on collecting from Americans who do not file 1040 income tax confession trap forms. But IRS collects over $300 for every $1 that the IRS spends collecting from Americans who file 1040 income tax confession trap forms. So if you were the IRS, which Americans would you go after, filers or non-filers? Right? The answer is obvious. Filers.
Right.
Okay?
Easy man.
So don't let them intimidate you with some doggone stupid letter they send you. All right? Anything else before I go to the next caller? You good?
Sir, no, sir. I appreciate your time, brother. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Mark. We have 503 area code caller, 434 area code caller, and let's see, 602 area code caller. Let's see, 503 area code caller, you are next. Give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Payman, this is Dan. Heard about you through Joe Bannister. And we talked this morning for about maybe a few minutes, but we'll reschedule for Tuesday.
Well, then, Dan, let's leave. You know, you said for a paid consultation, and I couldn't help you because I needed more paperwork. Send your paperwork to me. We'll talk afterwards. You don't need to call here. Leave this time for these people who have not paid for a private consultation, all right? And let's talk about your private issues.
Oh, that's okay.
Question privately.
Well, yeah, that's
general
okay.
Question
I wasn't calling about
me.
I just...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wasn't calling about me. I just listened, and I'm just listening to the call, and I'm... You remember in the beginning of the call, the lady was asking about the Social Security disability and not having to pay taxes on that?
Yes. What about?
I mean, I'm just trying to make sure I got this clear, because from what I heard you saying, it
mm-hmm.
almost sounds like that everybody out there here in the 50 states, maybe not in Guam or you know, those territories or whatever, but it sounds like everybody in the 50 states who's collecting a Social Security check shouldn't have to or does not lawfully have to actually volunteer, you know, kind of like, you know, people volunteer to go to the military, but when they don't do their job, they get thrown in prison for, you know, because they're military. It almost seems like everybody's just, like, been hypnotized to volunteer to do this, but they don't realize that they're volunteering to do it. But it sounds like everybody who's currently receiving a Social Security disability check should not be, volunteering to pay, the state swamp tax monster for the IRS, who ultimately represents a private banking cartel, the Federal Reserve. Is that kind of fair to say, or?
Yeah. Why? The only people required to pay federal income taxes on Form 1040 are citizens and residents of District of Columbia. In fact, the IRS on his own instruction form
wow.
says that. I agree with that.
Well, and here's something else I thought about. I'm just enjoying listening to the call. I missed last week's call. I know we took a break for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking about the other people when they was talking. And remember, I'm an electrician, so I just, you know, I studied code all my life since I got out of high school. So looking at code is not a problem for me. Paying attention when you're talking in your videos, I mean, you make code class sound really easy. So I wake up listening to your videos in the morning time. And, you know, I just got to thinking about, you know, like CPAs. There's CPAs and these there was a financial planner on the call tonight, like second or third caller tonight. And I'm just wondering, are these CPAs and financial planners who are like, you know, how they're, you know, filling out everybody's tax forms and making them sign this and making them sign that? I mean, I know they're not holding a gun to their head per se, payment. I mean, I get that, okay, but you know the hypnotic piece that's happening in the whole playing field of what's happening here. I'm just wondering, is there like a potential question in law about errors and omissions liability for all these CPAs and financial planners who are working either directly or indirectly, whether they knew or should have known that, you know, like they're committing all of these errors in omissions liabilities that would actually go against their E&O insurance their liability policies, their insurance, you know, the insurance policies that they have for their E&O liability for errors and omissions?
Well, that's an interesting approach. You know, that may be one way to go after some of these crooks. That's not a bad idea.
I mean, that's what
it.
I'm thinking, man.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Well,
that's good,
just me. I know. That's just me paying attention.
Good.
So I appreciate it. Y'all have fun. Watch Payman's videos on Odyssey.com at the Freedom Law School channel, and just stay tuned every week on every Thursday call, man, and you'll learn a lot. Sign up for the Freedom Restore plan.
Thank you for your support, my friend. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you, Dan. We have one more card with question from Erico 602. Folks, if you have questions, call the number on the screen, 657-383-1755, and on your telephone pad, press 1. Now I'll get your question after this caller, 657-383-1755. And on a telephone keypad, press 1. And I'll take your question after the call from area code 602. And, in fact, we do have one area code from area code 562 caller after the 602 area code caller. All right, area code 602, my friend, please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Yeah, Mannix, and I'm on your mailing list.
Over here. How'd you get on our mailing list, Mannix? How'd you get in the first place?
I was researching your sites and researching around and ran across.
How'd you get to our website to research it, though?
To what?
How did you get to discover us to research our website at all? I'm curious.
I'm trying to remember what I was actually going after, probably 4549A, substitute for returns, is what I'm dealing with, going back to 2001.
Okay.
It happened in 2010. I got summonses from the Treasury, IRS summonses, demanding I go back and refile 9 years, all the way back to 2001 to 2010, to redo all the tax returns. And so I went to my credit report, contacted all the companies I did business with, sent them summonses, and my employers said, I need an accounting so that we can be in compliance with the Internal Revenue Service. And they all wrote back $1,800, $1,600, down to $20 for the accounting. So I packaged all that up, sent it back to the IRS agent over in San Bernardino, saying it's my intention to be in voluntary compliance with the code. And in furtherance of that, I contacted these corporations so that we can be in compliance, and they demand cash money. I'm sure you can get the accounting, and they won't charge you a dime. So I gave him a limit of power of attorney for him to go out and do it for me. And 30 days later, he did 2001 to 2010, and they've been doing 4549As ever since then based on their presumption and assumption. So I have all this accounting that they did, which is erroneous, because it's an assumption. I'm trying to figure how to switch it about to collect all that lucre that they were presuming was taxable and put it back in my Vegas bank so I can go to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense what I said?
Well, yeah, but I don't hear a question. What's your question?
How do we deal with 4549As when the IRS makes a presumption of an accounting that I didn't sign? They did it on their own accord, based on assumptions and presumptions.
There is no black and white answer for that question. I got to see your paperwork and discuss with the background. There's no one-size-fits-all answer for that. Okay?
All right.
You can up to 10 pages send to us at free of charge out of the boardroom here. And then, but you may want to do probably for that a one-on-one detailed consultation perhaps. That's your other option, okay? But
okay.
I got to see your paperwork. All right. Anything else?
I also started using the W-4V to stop the withholding of state and federal, the W-4V instead of the W-4, checkbox 7.
That's incorrect.
Employer withholding.
I recommend you fix that. Come up this January, okay? What you want to do, go under our website, free yourself from income tax withholding on the right, that menu, okay? And use that form correctly, what we have here, because the V is not for you, that form. So. That's my suggestion. Okay, brother.
I'll go take a look.
Thanks
for
your call,
time.
Mannix. You're welcome. My pleasure. From area code 562, we're going to go next after him to area code 303. So area code 562 caller, give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hi, Payman. It's Michelle. I'm calling from California, and I heard from you from Stu Peters and Mike Adams.
Very good.
What you do.
Have you called before?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I thought you sound familiar. Very good. And how may I help you?
So if I don't file taxes and then I sell my home, would I be put under like some category that they would collect the money because I'm not paying my taxes and I'm showing delinquent or something?
Who's they?
The IRS.
All right, guys. Here we go again. I got to go over this again. You guys got to go to our website to step 3. Okay. Everybody thinks if you don't file, that's going to come after you with a big boo-boo-boo. You got
right.
to realize IRS is over 99% bluff. The IRS is a failed government agency. They are not as powerful as they once seemed. According to government's reports since 2011, there has been a 90% decrease in forced collections or levies. Since 2016, the IRS has deliberately chosen to leave repeat non fathers alone. Okay?
Okay.
Why? Because it's a lot more profitable to come after fathers who confess to the IRS money. So it's possible IRS come after you, and you and I can drive our car tomorrow out to go shopping, mm-hmm. and guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We both may die. You can't guarantee that you live tomorrow, neither can I. So because something can happen, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean it's likely to happen. Guys, get out of your head. There's a difference, but huge difference between something can happen versus is it likely to happen. Okay? So I could die mm-hmm. next year in a car accident. So could you. But is mm-hmm. that the reason for you not getting into your car? Of course not. You get in the car and drive to work every day. So you go to do what you want to do. The IRS is leaving non-filers alone. Okay?
Okay.
Okay? And for these reasons, number one is the number of non-filers is overwhelming to the IRS. In 1990, the IRS admitted that about 63 million Americans who they expected to file 1040 income tax forms for 1996 tax year did not file a 1040 confession form. With the population increase since 96, the number of non-filers is about 80 million. I put the 80 million on that little paragraph, which is missing there, by the way. You should put that is accordingly, okay? Put on there. So, right here, the proof is right here. Okay? It's right here. There's letters from 1998 from Department of the Treasury, Internal Revenue Service, Washington, D.C., IRS, the real paper tiger exposed. They write to Mr. Duane Abel, thank you for your letter to Mr. Charles O. Rosati, Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service, dated July 7th, 1998. We are pleased to provide you with the following information. Based on our 1996 tax filing program, we estimate, they don't know, they estimate there are approximately 63 million taxpayers who have not filed a 1040 tax return and initially would appear to have a legal requirement to file. This estimate is based on data available to the service on the individual master file. There it is. So you think they already lost 80 million sheep.
Mm-hmm.
You think one more sheep joining the flock of non-filers? You're going to alert them. Alert! 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 And no new non-filer appeared. Alert! One adds 80 million. Any of you, is that a big deal? Any other questions?
Great. Well, yeah, so Hunter Biden is being, gone after for not paying money on certain things. Would he qualify for this program?
Because back then, he stopped filing on his own, not coming to Freedom Law School first.
So he
should join Freedom Law
School's
Restore Freedom Plan, and I would have protected him. But he didn't join us back then when he stopped filing 1040 income tax confession forms, did he?
Got it. Okay. Okay. So there's a procedure to follow to protect ourselves.
Well, yeah. The procedure is, the key procedure, my favorite one, is step five, okay? Mm-hmm. Step five is the key one, okay? Where here's what you do, okay? You write your Congress members. And you tell them you file pay income taxes only if your congressman can show you the law that requires you to file pay income taxes.
Perfect.
See, this way, you can safely free yourself from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. These petitions that we have on our website, you spell out the law. I'm going to have one open for you right here. Here's one of individual income taxes for a married couple, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here, in his petitions, Here, where it is. It's, let me see. It's this my thing. Nope. Let me see. Boom, there it is. The form is on our website for you to do it for free. Okay? You tell your congressman you're giving them justification for congressional investigation of unlawful collection of individual income taxes. Okay?
Got it.
So you spell out the law in this petition, exactly as found on U.S. government's official legal websites. And then the laws that you're quoting, they're all at the end of the letter listed as an attachment, every single one. And they're attached, and the relevant language is highlighted for the ease of the congressman to read. You can't make it any more dummy-proof than this for this congressman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the petition, you very openly tell the congressman this, okay, that you owe them zero, first of all. You owe zero income tax, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them, if by reading the law that you have in your letter, okay, you can show that somehow I've misinterpreted the laws, if I'm wrong about anything, let me know, okay, how I'm wrong, and I will gladly pay all taxes and will consider such payment to be my or our fair share. Okay?
Okay.
So you're not hiding. Okay? This is key. You all should do this. It's your right, it's your duty as an American to confront your public servants. The congressmen work for you. They are your employees. Hold them accountable. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When they don't show the law to you, which is from the government's own official legal website, they're double, triple, and quadruple verifying for you that you're right. You don't owe income tax. How can you go to prison for simply following the law as published on the government's own official legal websites? You see why they don't come after me? Why does Yaris, after 30 years of teaching Americans, not to file income tax, not anything or filing, why do you think they don't come after me criminally? They don't try to put me in prison. Because they know I'll beat them. And so will you.
Mm-hmm.
We follow
mm-hmm.
the steps I have for you laid out. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Michelle, you good?
Thanks, Payman. I am. I'm good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure. So we have a call from area code 303, and then we have a new caller from area code, it's area code 503, I think, has another question, looks like. Another one from area code 415. Let's go to the call from area code 303. Please give me your first name. Are you heard about us? And then your question, please.
Hi, my name is Rochelle, and I actually just saw you reposted by Died Suddenly on X. And I started listening because I've never heard any of this. I always see, you know, people put in jail for tax evasion. I think Wesley Snipes and whatnot. And so my question is, I'm on Social Security disability, but I am under the Social Security age. And I also receive long-term disability from my former job. And I've had to pay taxes on the money that I received and am in debt now because I have been able to actually pay the taxes. So I don't know what to do because I always place it under currently non-collectible and, you know, I'm also making a payment plan for my state taxes. So what do I do to stop this cycle? Because, like I said, I always thought, you know, if you don't pay your taxes, you go to jail. And, you know, being on Social Security disability and not able to work, you know, I also wonder if I stop paying my taxes, will they cut my Social Security?
The answer is, first of all, there's no my taxes that you stop paying. You never owe any federal income tax to begin with. Okay, you were deceived for years or decades to pay income tax you never legally owed. Just like for decades, y'all thought, oh, FBI was wonderful people. I remember Sean Hannity, you know, on Fox, and says, oh, the men and women of FBI following the law, they're good people. And he found out, oh no, they're run by a bunch of crooks. Wake up, Sean Hannity. For decades, he thought, oh, the DOJ, Department of Justice, run with the people, putting mafia in jail. Okay, no, they're a bunch of crooks and criminals. So you never owed them at all in the first place. There's no my tax. Why?
Okay.
Number two, I do not know how this mess for you came out. I've got to see the paperwork of your case. And then, based upon that, analyze this to see what's going on. Up to 10 pages of your documentation paper you can mail, email, or fax to Freedom Law School. Make sure I receive it on time for the Freedom Hour for me to go through it, and I will go through it for you. In fact, we got a question from Sarah. Sarah, I'll get your email question here, too. Hang in there, okay? You send me the paperwork,
okay,
and I will answer you if you know what. But without that, I have no magic wand to tell you what to do. I have to see how your pre-existing problem got to be here. Okay?
Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay.
You're good?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see. We got area code 503 caller, 770, Dan. I think you already got your question answered, my friend. We got a call from area code 415 with a question. Please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Yeah, hi, Payman. My name is Ed, and I actually can't recall how I got to you, but I'm glad I did. I think it was a combination of Telegram and some things on there. And I know then I saw from Stu Peters and quite a bit you've done there. But anyway, I really appreciate what you're putting out here for everyone. And it's really lit a light bulb for me in terms of understanding this whole thing. So thank you for that, just generally.
You're welcome.
Maybe one, I think I know the answer to this one quick question, but with these petitions, and I read the one about with Grassley and with Case, my expectation is they will never reply with the response that you've laid out because they probably just can't. But at least
right. This
is a CYA, as they call it, covering oneself in case it's needed that this petition was put out there. Have you ever received a response from someone in support of what you're putting out there?
Not yet. I'm looking forward to one of these days we get one from an honest congressman and say, I took the time to read what you said, did my own investigation, and you're right. That day is coming. Not yet, but in the works.
To how you know, like this is a movement and you've been at it for a long time and I hope it continues to accelerate. So then I'm wondering about timing, and this is for me personally. And as I am an employee, so I have that matter to deal with. So certainly an upcoming W-4 is an opportunity to go down this path. And then the other one is related to a return, a 1040, you know, presumed return for 2023, where I've even made some, you know, I've had withholdings as well as estimated payments as well. So I guess it's kind of like the question, is there any time to not start doing this, or how do you view that?
Anytime you stop putting a chain around your neck and stop being a slave of the federal government is a good start, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And is all of those, are all those payments for 2023 lost?
Well, basically, yes. Maybe you're one of those that maybe for the last year you say, hey, man, I have so much over withholding from my paycheck. I'm going to file, get the over withholding some of it back, but no more. I'm going to stop withholding on my paycheck coming up in January. Okay? No more withholding income tax from my paycheck. And then no more filing a 10-4 income tax confession forms either.
Got it. Terrific. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Okay. Looks like we got everybody's questions answered, but one more chance before. But if you have a question, go ahead and I'll call the number. Meanwhile, I'm going to answer the question we have by email from Sarah. Okay. And Sarah says, I'm considering signing up for Freedom Law School. I spoke with George today, and I'm very interested in learning more. I live in California and can't go anywhere because I have a son I share custody of. Yes, unfortunately, it's one of the things that keeps you in that communist republic. I totally understand, Sarah. I have a hair styling business that used to be NS Corp, but is now a sole corporate sole proprietorship. That's fine. I have a business that includes an app and quantum frequencies that can be used for beauty, health, and wellness, a soul school component that goes along with this app that dives further into who we are and teaches us to connect our soul to our higher self-ministry components. And there are physical products that are sold. Okay? And her questions are, when I sign up, it sounds like I would be paying California because they are lawless according to your agreement. Can you recommend the best strategy for me to set up my number two business as an LLC, S Corp, or even ministry? Since it's online, would I be able to set the company out of California even though I reside in California? And what would this entail if I do this? Would I just have to make sure that my distribution centers are in state is favorable to not paying state tax? Okay. If I'm able to set up number two company in another state while I reside in California, how can I best utilize my hair styling funds earned in California to support my grassroots efforts to grow the number two business and keep as much money earned in California going to start the startup cost of business number two? Can I donate my earnings from number one to number two and use as a write-off in California and pay myself what I need to live from business number two? I'm not sure if this is legal, but I would like to know a good strategy that will honor the work I put into helping us escape Big Pharma and not have it go to big governments. If I set up, it is beneficial to stay under the radar in California or go gangbusters with what I learn here, as I'm sure there will be a lot of people I reach who are interested in this. Okay. Well, based upon limited information I have here, because I would need, first of all, to have more information to give you more exact answers. But based upon the little bit I got here, what I get from this is that you want to set up a business out of California, and you can do that. It's perfectly fine. Many people are in New York, in Michigan, in Kentucky, some businesses in Florida, Texas, Egypt, China, France, Russia, okay? So, of course you can start a business in a different state in America. There's nothing wrong or legal about it. And you pay whatever taxes that entity has to pay in that state, you pay it according to the state laws. Some states have a lot of taxes, some don't. So you can take advantage of that if you set things up in that other state perhaps that has no income tax. Furthermore, even though you have a joint custody of your son, he's going to grow up and be 18 years old some years down in the future. At that time, you can also leave the Communist International Republic of Mexicania and comes to a free state like Florida. So you just set up businesses out of California and eventually completely make that move over time, over the course of years. It's just a very natural process. Look at Donald Trump. He was in New York for decades, And what happened? About a few years ago, he moved from New York to Florida. He still has some businesses in New York. That New York entity pays New York taxes, but other businesses they got, you know, in non-New York, they don't pay any New York state income tax. So the other stuff about can this company donate to the other stuff like that, look, that's a deduction filing game. I don't recommend that kind of stuff. Just make it simple. Don't make it complex, okay? And lastly, you may benefit from a private one-on-one consultation because you obviously are intelligent, asking good questions, but I need to get more details about what you got going on, what you want to do to be able to give you a better, more accurate answer to your very good question, Seth. So thank you for that. If you call in right now and give me more details, I may be able to give you more detailed answers, by the way. But right now I'm going to go to other people with questions we have. So we have no more people calling with questions. Call from area code 402 is next, followed by a caller from area code, 586, and then a call from area code 682. So call from area code 402. Please go ahead, give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Yes, this is Cindy, and I have called before. I heard from you from Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
Very good, Cindy. And how may I help you?
My first question is, so the 941 that I have to file each quarter, we have a small LLC business. The 941 each quarter that I file, I just quit filing those then each quarter?
Yes.
Okay, so we have... Let's say we have four employees and you talked about, you know, that you don't have to file for them. Okay, so if you have two employees that said, yes, I want my W-2, and two employees that say, no, we want to go with Freedom Law School, we want to not get W-2s, and the two that want to and you can't talk them into it, does that put up a red flag for my other two employees or our business?
No, what you want to do is don't give up on people so quickly. What you want to do is to pay your employees during work hours to sit down and watch our videos. Okay? And say, look, we want to make sure we follow the law correctly. We are stickler for the law. So rather than relying on an opinion of a CPA or tax lawyer who may be wrong, we go straight to U.S. government's official legal website. You see it on the screen. Freedom Law School will show you. We'll pause, rewind if you need to make sure you understand it. You do that after you provide them lunch or dinner and feed them on your dime now, because you own them now. You pay for the hourly for them to eat and sit down and watch. Once you do that for them, they're going to come around. But they're not going to come around just by telling them necessarily, hey, what's going on here is this. They say, well, I don't know about you. So believe me, the few $100 you may spend on food and hourly pay to these guys is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to you long term. Spend on that. And then if that doesn't work, then we can go over plan B, C, and D. All right, now, don't give up on plan A so quickly. Okay, Cindy?
Okay, so if, you know, like I said, if they don't want to and you give them their W-2, and also do you keep paying Social Security then for these four employees, the W-3? Do you still pay the W-3 in, the Social Security? Or do you just
not do the federal and state? Nothing. You don't take no federal taxes of any kind out of their paycheck. That's why we have these petitions on the individual income taxes, employment taxes, and self-employment taxes and 1099s. Okay? So we cover all of these potential taxes with the employees by these petitions that we have. So You don't steal anything from the paycheck, and they all get a pay raise. They're going to be happy. Wow. I then realized that when my check I get is, it was $400, it was actually over $500. My gosh, that's nice. I got extra money. Or my check was $2,000, actually was over $2,500. I didn't realize that. Okay? So I got extra money to spend for myself and my family. You will not get much of a problem. The situation may exist that we may have to send them, for example, to a temporary agency, pay them that way to them. We could do that if necessary, but that's a plan C, D, and E. Plan A, don't give up on that yet. Educate them. As a student,
okay, so
I'll guide you through that process. We'll guide your people.
Okay.
And I haven't seen any problem with any employee saying, no, I want you to take more money out of my paycheck. I like to be poor. The problem is we didn't educate them. Look, let me tell you something. I had multiple times I have paid people to check my website and prove me wrong. Okay, recently I just offered one guy over $200 an hour. Says, you show me where I'm wrong, I'll pay you $200 an hour for your time. Okay, the other guy did that first. You know, he was a very smart guy. He studied, and said, I can't find anything wrong. Okay, so do that first. Then we get to all the plans. If it comes up, we'll get there. All right,
okay,
Cindy?
So for – that sounds terrific. So for next year, for 2020 – well, for this year, 2023, I've already filed my 941s each quarter. We've already paid in for these employees. So if they want to start that next year, then we just quit doing the taxes. For next year, is that going to be a problem if I don't file?
Nope.
And I go ahead and join Freedom Law School at the first of the year, and they go ahead and they file. Is that going to throw a red flag up for me?
No, you could. I mean, you could end the year by for January, give them the W-2s, you know, based on what you already withheld from a paycheck, just to clean it up and from the one what was done for last year. But from 2024, zero. No 941s, no 940s, no W-2s, no W-3, nothing, no withholding. Of any kind.
Okay.
Okay.
And that won't throw a red flag up for me when I don't file for 2023. Like if I don't put the noose around my neck and do the 1040, it's not going to hurt
that
I did this.
No, you're fine. You just clean up the year 2023 because you did do 941s and the withholding. You just want to clean up that whole situation and put it behind. Because some of those employees
don't file any more 941s at the –
yeah, they might get a refund by filing those forms. That's why you want to finish up 2023 because it's done. Basically, it's done. You've got to finish it up.
Right, but for me, it's okay that I don't because I know I would have to pay in.
That's right.
Okay.
You're done. Yeah, you're done. You can stop. Yes.
Okay, I'll be done, but I'll finish up them, and then I will talk them into not filing or not getting their income taxes money taken out. Perfect. I'll educate them.
Yeah, you educate them. Right, exactly.
Perfect. Thank you for your time. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you.
You're most welcome, Cindy. My pleasure. Okay, we got a call from area code 586, followed by a call from area code 682. From area code 586 caller, please give me your first name, how you heard about us, and then your question, please.
Hi, Paymon. This is Natalie.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
And I heard about you by watching Mike Adams.
Mm-hmm.
I received a phone call this afternoon from the guy that works with you, Eric.
Uh-huh.
And he convinced me to call in and talk to you about my issue.
Very good.
And my issue is kind of a twofold issue.
Mm-hmm.
I had called back in, I don't know, I think it was end of August or September, and I had paid quite a bit in taxes in April before I knew better, and I had filed for an extension, and my question back then was if I, you know, could recoup some of the money that I paid in. And at that time, I think maybe I didn't make my issue very clear, because you said that the money was gone and there was no way I could get it back, even though I hadn't filed yet. That same day, I had spoken with George, and he recommended that I also send you an email, which I did, explaining my situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the following week on the Freedom Hour, you read my email, and in that show, you said I could get my money back. So I'm thinking, mm-hmm. geez, which way can I get my money back, or can't I? I still have not filed for 2022 because I wanted to figure out what to do, how to proceed forward, because it was quite a bit. And I really used that money. I could like to recoup some of that. So, but I'm not sure. I heard people say you need to file a 1040-NR, but I know there's no standard deduction on a 1040-NR, and I would be giving up almost $13,000 if I used the NR. But in the same token, I don't want to put the noose around my... So I really feel like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place.
If you file, how much would you get back from the IRS, do you think?
Over $100,000.
You may want to file and get that money back from the fees and stop.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, in this case, maybe it would be beneficial for you to one last time to file a 1040 income tax confession form, get that $100,000 from the thieves back, and stop filing for 2023 forward.
Well, that's where the twofold comes in, because I'm one of those unlucky one percenters that need to file, because I'm a former government employee and I receive a small pension.
Yes.
And I'm not sure whether in the future what I was thinking I could do is just have money taken out of my pension to pay the tax that I would owe on the pension.
Yes, that's a good idea.
So I don't have to file.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that's the way I wouldn't have to file. I could just go ahead and pay the taxes I'd owe on the government pension. But I wouldn't file.
Right. Even though technically you're required to file, if the tax is paid or overpaid on that federal pension, you're right. They're going to leave you alone anyways because they got their money that they want from you
right.
to begin with.
Right. I thought that's the way I could go about still paying what I owe but not putting a noose around
mm-hmm.
my neck.
Mm-hmm. Correct. You got it.
So I guess the thing I'd have to file would be the 1040 in order to get the money back.
Right.
Okay.
One last time for $100,000. You may want to do that. Okay. And then from there, no more.
Okay.
Anything else, Natalie?
I'm just afraid they're going to come back and say, what makes you think you don't owe this? You know, because you know, most of it's all in capital gains taxes. And then I really feel like I need to know what the heck I'm doing because...
For what year, 22 or 23? I'm confused. For 22 or 23?
For 22. Yeah, I was supposed
for
22, to file in
October. I heard
October.
You say that if you file with everything on there, you're going to get $100,000 back, including the capital gains being listed. So I'm not sure. You're confused what you're saying by that.
Well, I mean, in the past, I've always, you know, paid the 1040 and paid my taxes on capital gains. And I'm afraid they're going to, you know, come back and say, what makes you think this year you don't owe it and we owe you?
You filed like any in the past that you did. You filed for 20, 21, and now 22. They're not going to think about anything at all. You're doing the same as the past. Right? You filed for 20 and 21 also, right?
Right. I filed and I paid taxes like, you know, all the other sheep out there.
Well, but you're claiming that based upon those regular filing procedures of the IRS, you get some money back. So you get your money back. There's nothing, nobody think, looking at it and say, let me compare it to her last year's tax returns before I process them. They just process them. Look, IRS processes about 150 million individual returns and tens of millions of corporate returns and other returns. They have no time to stop and look at everyone. Let me get to pull up the previous years, compare them, and then see whether we should accept it or not. They don't do that. They just process them. Okay? That will not happen.
But I'm saying if I filled out the 1040, according to the 1040, I owed that $100,000. If I send that in, you know, I don't know how to fill it out so I get the money back. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. If you file a form, you owe them money. Is that what you're saying? And why would you file a form at all when you legally are not required to do so?
Right. If I knew that back in April, I wouldn't have done that. But now I've paid the money, and now the problem is how do I get it back?
Okay. Now you can, again, you say something different. Has the money you paid into them all together, all this time, is it more than what you would show on your 1040 or less?
Are you talking about for 2022?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if I filed the 1040, it's going to say I owe that money.
You owe them more?
I don't know how.
Well, if you owe them more, then why would you want to fill out the form? I don't understand.
No. No, I've already paid it. I paid it in April when I filed for my expenses.
So you already overpaid it, so you get something back. Because you overpaid it, you get a refund is what you're saying, correct?
Well, a friend of mine, he's good at filling out 1040s, and he helped me. And he says, well, according to the 1040, you owe over $100,000 in capital gains on your taxes. And so that's what I pay, because he says if you don't pay it ahead of time, they're going to start charging you interest.
Right.
And
so
I paid it ahead of time.
Right. So you're going to get a refund because you already overpaid, right? So you can just get that overpayment, some of it back if you want, and be done with it.
No, you don't understand. According to the 1040, that's what I owed. I didn't.
And you paid
according
it
to the 1040.
So you paid
the exact
amount that you had filed. Okay, you already paid. Then
right, I
always paid the exact amount that you owe. Then you can stop filing.
Right, but
don't put more 1040 forms. If you can avoid the 1040 form under oath, why not?
Right. I understand the future that I'm only going to owe on my government pension. But my question is, according to everything that I've learned watching you and your show, I did not owe on the capital gains taxes that I paid for 2022. So my question is, how do I get that money back?
The only way to get money back, when you send money to thieves already, is by filing some kind of a tax return, basic tax. Unfortunately, you cannot get the money back without filling out the 1040 form of some kind. The IRS will not give it back to you. I'm sorry.
Right.
There is no other way I can tell you to get that money back except to fill out the 1040 form, perhaps.
But I'm thinking I'd need to file like a 1040 NR and give up that $13,000 with the standard deduction, because if I fill out the standard 1040, according to it, I owe all that capital gains taxes.
Hold on. You got a very more longer specific questions. This is the kind of thing, Natalie, this goes beyond the purview of this question answer session. This is taking a long time. This is a done paid private consultation. I need to see what you filed with the IRS, what you sent them, what your friend did for you, what they told you, everything, the paperwork. Because I'm not getting a clear picture of what you're saying. Let me see the paperwork and what you've done, and then I can retell you what's going on. But right now, I'm not clear. I can't give you a good answer. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I haven't filed anything. I just paid. And
right.
I filed an expense.
What you pay them? What? How much capital gains have you got? I see some numbers. How much you pay them?
Mm-hmm.
How much capital gains? We got to do some number crunching. Without numbers, I cannot tell you.
Right.
All right, Nellie?
I just know. Okay. All right. Yeah, I just know the 1040 isn't the way out because according to it, I owed that money.
I understand that. I understand that. But again, I can't give you any further instructions without seeing the specific numbers of your case. The answer you want, I cannot give it to you without getting more exact numbers of what you got. Capital gains, how much you paid them, how much you get a pension, everything else, so forth. I need to see these numbers more specifically in front of me so I can give you a better answer.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling. Okay, Natalie, I appreciate you calling. Sorry, I cannot help you on this.
That's okay. Thanks,
Pam. Okay,
we're going
to give the number one more time for any last caller we have tonight. If you have a last question, folks, this is it, your chance to get the question answered. Call 657-383-1755 and press 1 on your telephone keypad. And I will take your question now, 657-383-1755. And on your telephone keypad, press 1, and I will take your question next. While you guys try to make that call, let me remind all of you folks, you want to be at the Restore Freedom Rally February 2nd through 5th in Orlando, Florida. You want to warm up, folks. Get out of the snow in February. Come down. Hear the great speakers we got. Many of them is very affordable, folks. Bring your spouse and children, grandchildren and grandchildren, folks. Don't come alone. Bring your family members with you. They get vacation. We got at a resort by Universal. We got a resort room night of $95 a night. You can get it 3 days before the rally and after the rally at the same discounted price. Come for a week or 10 days or more vacation and get educated and empowered all at the same time, okay? So go to our website or restorefreedomrally.org for more information. We have a call right now from area code. Let's see, I think 682 caller. We answered, didn't we, 682? I think we did. Well, he's not here. We have a call from area code. Sorry, 682 caller left. He got tired of waiting. Let's go from area code 301 caller. You're live, my friend. Give me your first name, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please. See you there. From area code 301. Call from America 301. Are you there with your question? You're live. Well, he doesn't answer. I guess he's not there. He forgot. Are you there?
I already talked to you. I don't know if that's another one.
There you go. Now I can hear you. What's your first name, brother?
So this is Benaya. I have an area code 301, but I talked to you earlier, so I'm not sure if it's somebody else's 301 or if you're looking at my number.
301-442 prefix. You're good. If you ask your question, brother, you're good.
Yeah,
don't worry about that. You're good.
That was
no problem. That's okay. Thanks for letting me know. Folks, we're done for tonight. Thank you very much. And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to have a recorded presentation. So I may not be available for a question-answer session. I may have somebody else conduct that for me. We'll see. But I will have a couple more presentations for you at the Freedom Hours Thursday nights. So with that, I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Let's make 2024 a year of freedom, of hope, of peace and prosperity and love, folks. Let's have it together with all the other Americans willing to love and share this truthful information at freedomlawschool.org. See you soon. Okay, man.